Welcome back to the Balancing Act podcast. I'm Andy Tempty. On the Balancing Act, we talk to business leaders and industry experts to explore the balancing acts we play in our professional lives and learn about the events that put rocket boosters behind their career success. Today, we have Davidson Hang joining us. Davidson is an executive life coach and has led Kaizen Coaching since 2017. Today, we're going to focus on the value of coaching in the workplace. Welcome to the show, Davidson.
Thank you, Andrew. It's a pleasure to be here. And I know it's not easy to get to this many episodes. So congratulations on your consistency, your commitment. And I love what you're doing. So it's always admirable when people are able to make it past the 100th episode. So just want to acknowledge you on that.
Yeah, I think you're going to be 136. So yes, it is a labor of love. Thank you so much for pointing that out. Before we get started, I ask all of my guests this question. Please tell our listeners your story.
Yeah, it's interesting because every, you know, I've done so much self-development work and I keep thinking like, oh, I've made it, I'm good, but there's always layers to it, right? I think how everything started was, so my parents were refugees from the Vietnam War. So when they came to the US with pretty much nothing, I think there was a lot of scarcity growing up. Unfortunately, my parents had a divorce when I was a bit younger. So not having a father around, I would say, was a very pivotal moment in my life. So because we lived off of government assistance and I didn't have a lot of confidence growing up. Now looking back at it, having done a lot of therapy, a lot of coaching, I see that it's a good thing. Like everything that happened to me was ultimately positive in terms of how I'm able to reframe it. But it certainly doesn't feel like it when you're getting abused physically and by your dad and then emotionally from your mom, right? So just growing up, I was a very sensitive young boy, and I guess I'm still a very sensitive person, so just to be transparent. And then I fell into self-development because I wasn't making any money. I was living paycheck to paycheck, and I felt very poor with my mindset. So this guy posted on Facebook like, hey, I'm actually trying to get my life coaching certification. I'm giving out sample sessions. If anyone who's interested, let me know. And little did I know that one moment would be 7 years of a lot of coaching, a lot of seminars, traveling the world. And, you know, from that was 2016. So I was able to triple my income from that moment, do the work of coaching and self-development. So it's just been a privilege to be able to help. Now it's like roughly 150 people with their career transitions over the last 8 years. So that's been rewarding. And also, you know, like these are emotional topics that we're talking about, so sometimes very confronting as well. But it's been quite a journey.
Excellent. So you've talked about a couple of key moments in your life. Can you describe for us that moment that just put rocket boosters behind your career?
Yeah, I would say there was three pivotal like programs that have made the biggest difference. One was this year-long coaching program called Accomplishment Coaching, where I cried 180 out of the 365 days of the year. So it was one of those moments where I was just finally confronting a lot of my insecurities, my demons, my shadow, as we call it. And I was able to make amends with a lot of folks. And so that was, I would say, the foundational work. And then Landmark Worldwide, I've just completed this past weekend, probably 8 different programs. So do a series of a lot of different programs over the course of 5.5-6 years. And that was when I made amends with like all of my ex-girlfriends, my old bosses, like everyone. And I just, you know, apologized for who I was being. But then what I found out was like, actually, I wasn't a horrible employee. I wasn't a bad boyfriend. But it was, my story was, I was a horrible human being. So I had to overcompensate by volunteering for every nonprofit, building schools in Africa, helping orphans in Vietnam, being on the board of that. And I realized like, oh, okay, no amount of overcompensating will work if I don't love myself first, right? And then the third most pivotal program, I would say, is Tony Robbins. So I did his year-long Ultimate University, which is a year-long program, essentially, of a lot of different Tony Robbins programs, Business Mastery, Date with Destiny, Unleash Your Power Within, to name some of those programs. And that helped me be able to just like understand how to leverage my strengths. So a lot of it was like building community, having strong, deep relationships, and also being able to take action. And do the combination of those three programs, I think it's led me to having a much more fulfilling and much more intentional, purposeful life.
Excellent. Thank you so much for, in your description, stressing the value of self-love. If we don't love what's going on in here, it is really, really hard to be a great leader, to be a great friend, to be a great spouse and partner. So starting in here is something I learned the hard way as well. So thank you for pointing that out. Davidson, we're talking about coaching today. Many people routinely conflate the terms coaching and mentoring. From your perspective, can you define the two terms for us and then create a more clear distinction between the two for our listeners?
That's a great question. Mentoring is more... mentoring typically should be unpaid, right? It's in my experience, a lot of organizations will have a mentoring program that's someone that's typically within the organization. So their interests are still like, hey, how can you serve or move up within that organization? Where I believe a coach is a little bit more objective and is not tied to that organization typically, right? Unless they're paid for by the organization. But mentoring is typically someone that is a bit older typically, right? Who has more experience, that has done what you've done. And it's more giving advice or giving guidance and direction just so you have more clarity on what you want. We're coaching, there's a certification from the International Coaching Federation. So similar to how there's a CPA or CFA, right? You can get certified as a coach, and there's the ACC, PCC, and MCC. So think of it as like an associate's, a bachelor's, and a master's in coaching. And so there's certifications. So coaching ideally is you're measured more on like things like active listening and goal setting. And there's some of that sometimes with a mentor. But I would say there's a distinction because coaches are typically paid, right? So it's not someone that is like doing this for free. Right. But I do think it's typically more objective, right? Because most mentors are assigned to you from your company. Like when I worked at LinkedIn, my mentor was also an executive at LinkedIn, and she was more helping me to be like, how do I get promoted within the organization? Whereas all the coaches I've hired are not from the organization, so they have a little bit more of an objective view of what I want, and it's more asking me what I want instead of telling me or sort of guiding me. It's supposed to be a bit more objective.
Excellent. So thank you for that objectivity, a bit more transactional, and potentially a little shorter in terms of its duration. Davidson, I like to run thought experiments on the show. Suppose you have a senior leader or a mid-level manager sitting right in front of you right now, and they're wondering whether an executive coaching engagement is the right move for them. What advice do you have for this individual to help them make the choice to engage or not? And how would you advise them to pick the right coach for their specific needs?
That's a great question. I'm a proponent of just experimenting and trying a lot of different coaches, right? Similar to how I buy a car. Like instead of just buying the first car that had a test drive, right, I would go to the Hyundai dealership, then the Honda dealership, then the Lexus, right, and try. I try a lot of different types just because I don't know what I like until I drive it. So in my case, I've tried like maybe 15 different coaches over the course of 8 years, right? So sometimes a coach is right, like will serve its purpose for that 6 month engagement or 3 months, or depending on if you're still receiving value from it. But sometimes it will go to different stages. So you'll know intuitively, at least for me, I know if there's someone I really connect with. Sometimes it's similar background. Sometimes it's, okay, this person is really good at setting boundaries, and that this is a skill that I would like to get better at. So I would like to learn from that person. But ultimately, like I do, the energy I get from a coach I connect with, you'll know, right? Because there's a lot of coaches that you will meet with them, and you're like, ah, that's not really my style, or they might be too aggressive, or they might be. So I think communication styles is important, and also communicating how you would like to be communicated, right? Some people are very feedback heavy, and then some coaches prefer the sandwich method, right? So it's also communicating how you would prefer to receive that as well.
Yeah, thank you so much for pointing that out. I've done a fair amount of personal therapy in my life. I don't hide it. It's if you read either one of my books, it's front and center. And finding the right therapist was not a one and done thing. It was a process of trial and error, and some road testing, if you will, continuing with your metaphor on the cars. So I really appreciate you hitting that hard, because a lot of people think, I'll just find a coach and it'll be fine. Well, that it's a process where you really have to audition. So I appreciate you hitting that point. Davidson, it wouldn't be the balancing act without discussing a balancing act. So what's the most important balancing act you have to play in your role as a coach?
Yeah, it's difficult sometimes to not be attached to the results of my clients, because sometimes as a coach, we get, you know, sucked into their stories, and it's hard to not project our own needs and wants and experiences onto what they need. Mm-hmm. So I really try to check myself, and it's like, okay, is this actually something they're struggling with, or am I projecting what a past trauma or something that has happened in my life? And sometimes storytelling will help just to give them some insights or help them be able to have normalize their experience so they don't feel like they're alone. But I really try to take myself out of the equation. But it is very hard, right? It is almost impossible to be 100% objective. But that's, I would say that's been the hardest thing when coaching people.
Yeah. So in the back of our listeners' minds, one of my goals today, and after the commercial break, you and I are going to talk about the value of coaching in a business setting and the responsibility of leaders and managers to be coaches first and foremost to the individuals that make up their teams. So a lot of the skills and Davidson's individual experiences as a coach are things that leaders and managers can learn from. And one of those things that you just hit on, the projection aspect and being as objective as possible. I've seen that movie over and over again in a leadership setting where an individual leader projects their own personal setting onto their people and expects their people to act in the way that that they do, or to respond in the way that they do. So that term projection and almost seeking that return from your people and getting overly invested is something that that if I were running that thought experiment and I had a leader and manager sitting right in front of me right now, I would say beware of projection. So thank you for that, Davidson. Really value-adding conversation. We're going to take a short commercial break and we'll be right back. Has trust broken down in your organization? Learn how smooth workflows enable accountability and unlock trust to create long-term business success. Learn more in my new book, The Balanced Business, available today at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold. And we're back with Davidson Hang talking about the value of coaching in a business setting. Let's go back to our previous thought experiment. Suppose the individual you were advising made the choice to begin a coaching relationship. How do they know, other than if there's a time clock on the engagement, how do they know when the engagement has run its course and it's time to fly solo?
This is a very common question that a lot of people have asked me, actually. I think with any, so I'll answer in two ways. Like for me, I think sometimes we don't trust our intuition, right? I mean, we all have been in relationships that we quite honestly should have ended it much earlier. Maybe it's just the fear of the unknown, or it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't know.
Right.
I'm a huge proponent of, like, you don't know until you try other coaches, right? So even if, let's say you do have a coach that's like maybe a 7.8 out of a 10, right? Like that's not bad. But what would life be like if you had a coach that was a 9.5 out of 10, right?
Right.
And I think coaches, we serve that purpose, and it's almost like a coach's goal to end, right? Because you don't want them to be 100% reliant on you for 30 years. Like, I don't necessarily think that's healthy, right? Because there's a bit of that codependent relationship. But I know, for me, I know when that client is ready, because they're self-sufficient, they've gained the skills, like they have the core competencies that we agreed upon, and they no longer necessarily need me. Not like anyone needs a coach, right? But there's feels less value that I can add as we go towards the end of that engagement. And sometimes that's a year long, sometimes that's 3 months, sometimes that's 5 years, right? It just really depends. But I think trust your intuition, and it doesn't hurt to, it's not like you're cheating on your coach, right? You can have multiple coaches, and maybe you work with another coach and you find like, oh, this coach is actually better for where I am currently in my life and what I want out of my business and the goals I have for myself.
Yeah, we do. We have those internal feelings of, oh, am I cheating on my coach by going to talk to somebody else? No, you're not. It is a transactional relationship that you have entered into, and you are the client. So back to that negative self-talk. Oh my goodness, I better not do that. What if I make Davidson mad? He'll never forgive me. Come on. Yeah. So yeah. Go ahead, Davidson.
Yeah, it's fun. I've had that thought, and it's interesting, right? Because you do kind of become very emotionally invested with your clients, but it makes me happy when they're able to hit their goals, right? And oftentimes, like with my engagements, it's a lot clearer, because it's like, hey, I helped you land this job. Like maybe your job is to break into enterprise sales, and your background, you were an accountant or your IT. So that's a bit more straightforward. But sometimes you'll know, right? Because the energy is different, or there's just not as much value. So it is a very natural thing as well, right? As people have different goals, and 3 years later, like, you know, it's, the goals are completely different. So there's other coaches that specialize in things that, that I don't do, right? So sometimes it's better for them to go towards the coach that's best suited for them in that moment.
Yeah, I like your trust, your gut here. Intuition does play a really strong role. As a leader and former CEO myself, I believe that one of the primary responsibilities of all managers is to equitably coach their people, not play favorites. That's what I mean by the use of the word equitably. But many managers say, I don't have time for that. We just need to get stuff done. These are the firefighters. We just got to always be moving. No time to stop and really think. If you had a leader or mid-level manager sitting in front of you right now who's deprioritized their role as a coach, how do you help them see the value of weaving coaching into their operational cadence?
Middle managers have the hardest job, in my opinion, right? Because not only are they managing up, but they're dealing with a lot of their employees' stuff that comes up, right? There's a lot of emotions. There's a lot of unfortunate circumstances. We all go through ups and downs. And as you know, I've worked for a lot of publicly traded companies, and I get it. There's the shareholders and their boss, their skip level is breathing over their neck, right? So it is a very tough, it's a really tough position to be in. So I would say at the end of the day, we all, it's being reactive versus being proactive, right? Yeah, we can put out the fires, we can, but at the end of the day, like if we're not coaching our employees, then they're going to find other opportunities, right? Because everyone's looking to grow. And from a professional development, you know, maybe they're looking for a coach that can help them with emotional regulation or how to communicate better or delegation, whatever, right? So if we're not actively, proactively including that in the cadence of the, instead of just tracking the metrics, the numbers, then eventually the employees will burn out, or they won't feel respected, and they'll leave to another manager or to another opportunity. So yeah, we can ignore that, but eventually it's going to lead to attrition, and it's going to lead to them feeling not a part of the team. And so eventually, you know, it will catch up to you. So it's either do it now or do it when the pain becomes too big, and by then it's going to be too late.
Yeah. I like your response there, because what I heard through that is that there is the responsibility of you as a leader and manager to be the primary coach to your people and your team, but also the value of external third-party coaches, because as a coach, I have a certain level of expertise, and there are some things that are just beyond what I'm capable of helping with, and being able to know the difference between those two things is very important. And third-party coaching can be really valuable to the long-term strength of a team. And you as a leader or manager, you are primarily a steward of the business, and looking at that long-term health is critical. So thank you for that. Davidson, we're starting to wind up the conversation here, but two lightning round questions. Number one, I'm giving you access to a time machine, and you can send a message, a very short message, to an earlier version of yourself. What's the message, and what's the previous version of yourself that you send it to?
This is so cliche. I'm sure a lot of your guests have answered this as well, but I would say it'd be 21-year-old Davidson, and I would say, stop worrying so much, like continue to meet as many people as possible, continue to be social, don't doubt yourself, and stop being so hard on yourself.
Yeah. That is a very common answer, and there is absolutely no shame in that response. It's a good one. We are also, second lightning round question, we are all works in progress, whether you're 60 or 36. What are you focused on right now in your personal journey of growth?
Hmm. Yeah, my wife, we've been together for 11 years now, and she's been very patient with me as I've was more focused on writing my books and doing 300 episodes of the podcast and the YouTube channel and all this. So she's been extremely patient. So this is finally where I'm realizing okay, I need to prioritize the marriage. I need to say no to a lot of things and really just focus on being present with her instead of, saying yes to things that are distracting me from ultimately, what I want to do, right? Which is to build a loving marriage and then eventually having kids in the near future.
Well, excellent. Congratulations on 11 years. Thank you for saying yes to your time on this show. Please let us know how we can support you in your journey. What's next for you, and where can folks learn more about you and your programs?
My website, davidsonhang.com. I'm all over social media. So it's hard to miss me once if you're subscribed to any of my channels. I post pretty frequently. What's next is I have a book coming out this year called Adventures of a People Pleasing Contrarian. So it's so it's funny. So it's the dual of being a recovering people pleaser, but also, being able to make my mark and challenge the status quo. And it's going to be a lot of funny and interesting stories about self-love, acceptance, healing, and making amends, and just some of the funny, interesting moments that have happened on this journey so far. So I'm excited to share that with everyone.
Awesome. Well, good. Best wishes for the release of the book and the journey that you will go on promoting that. It's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, my name's Andy Tempty. This is the Balancing Act podcast. You can find us on all the major streaming services. Please like, subscribe, and most importantly, rate the show and share it with your friends. And we will see you next time.